You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for joining me today. Have you had that experience where you have a great client in your chair and things develop and you become lifelong friends? Now, Sam and I, we started off as the hairdresser relationship, but it soon grew into we worked together throughout our business. And today she talks about her thriving business, My Glow Life. And we talk about personal values, taking responsibility for your energy. She's got some great insights to us as business owners and how we manifest the business that we have in our lives today. Let's jump into this insightful interview. Sam, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Super pleased to have you here today.
So nice to be here. Thanks for asking, Riss.
Now, we go way back because you were originally a client of my salon many, many years ago. We won't give that away. That might give away our ages. But we used to speak a lot, and you were a fashion stylist at the time. And we started to do some work together when we were doing our collections and our photo shoots, and we did a huge competition prize giveaway together, all sorts of things, interesting things that we did together. But you've gone on, as have I, to do some really interesting things, which is why I've invited you to share your story with us today. So why don't you start by telling us what you do, how did you get to be where you are today, and what your business looks like?
So I, and you know what, it's so nice to go down memory lane with you around how we met just before we jumped on this call. So cool. So I was a personal stylist and still am to some extent, but I offer it more inside my transformational program that I do now. So I'm a well-being coach, but that encompasses yoga, mindfulness, and transformational coaching. And I got into that because about... I actually can't even put a year to it, but when I was really immersed in that personal styling, my business took off pretty quickly, and I had a couple of TV shows, and I was writing for various magazines, and on the outside, life looked really cool. And we know that it can all be a bit of an illusion, can't it, when things are actually crumbling in your personal life? Yeah. So I had... You know, I'm just going to keep a really long story short, but I had a bit of a breakdown in the fact that I got exhausted. I was trying to do everything and be everything, which many of us business owners and women do, and didn't ask for help, didn't know how. And at that time, I felt really alone, and I sort of woke up one day and thought, what is this? This is the life that I have created, but is it really what I want? And for the first time in my working career, I actually asked myself, why am I even doing this? Mm-hmm. And that led to so much more of deep diving into who am I, what do I want to do, what's my purpose, all of those lovely, big, juicy questions. And when I did a big mind map and coached myself around all of this before even going out and reaching out to a coach, I realized that I wasn't even aligned to my own values or the way that I wanted to live, or really aligned to what the work was that I was actually doing for women at the time in my personal styling business. And I've always been a yogi, so I've been practicing yoga for 25 years. I have always been a meditator. I've lived mindfully as much as I can, and of course lost the plot, so obviously wasn't living mindfully. But, you know, we have to do these things to bring ourselves back around.
I think so.
The lessons learned. And so then I just decided that really what I needed to do is start speaking my truth and step more into who I truly was and offer that out to the world. And that led to a beautiful business called My Glow Life, which I now offer, have been able to partner with and offer NZQA accredited wellness courses to high schools around New Zealand. And that's been incredible. And that's due to a partnership with a business that is a what's called an ITO. And an ITO mm-hmm. is someone who is an established business for offering NZQA accredited courses.
Which is industry training organisation.
That's it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the acronym. Got to remember the
description. Just for all our Aussies and American people, so.
Oh, yeah, true. and then I also created a group training course, which is going online in 2018, and that's been phenomenal. It's a transformational course. For predominantly women, but men are more than welcome to join. And also offer one-on-one coaching, and life is just so different now and fully aligned. It's beautiful. I still have the ups and downs, but I know what they are and how to cope with them, and I know what my purpose is, and that's to help others find their glow, which stands for graceful, loving, open well-being.
Oh, I like that. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Thanks.
And so what has it been that has been most transformational for you in being able to do a business that suits or works for you and is on purpose for you?
It was as simple as getting really clear on what my values are, and my values as in life for me personally, because that led to the decision of the type of business that I wanted to run, and led to understanding more of what my purpose was, and getting really honest with my truth. And you know, that can sound really, you know, can sound a bit woo-woo, a bit waffly, and also quite big for a lot of people when they hear that. But what I mean by getting really clear on your truth is actually sitting down and asking, when it comes to everything in your life, why am I doing it? So when it comes to moving your body, why am I wanting to move it that way? Am I wanting to move it that way from a place of lack? As in, do I really feel miserable about myself, so I'm just going to flog myself hard out at the gym and feel even more miserable because I don't even know clearly how much weight I want to lose, and why do I want to lose it anyway? Is it for happiness, or what is it? Or am I doing the movement for pure love and joy, and I really like the way that I feel? And so for me, that was yoga. I love the way I feel when I come off my yoga mat. But what it wasn't was training for a half Ironman, which is what I did when I had my little breakdown.
Right.
Because it was for the wrong reason. And one day I might go back and do it, and I'll do it for the right reason, aligned to my values. But at the time, it was for other reasons, and they weren't right.
Mm. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. And so I'll let you finish.
It can just be in all areas of your life. So it's not just movement, but it's the food that we put in our mouth. Is it to nourish, or is it for another reason, like lack again? Or are we making decisions in business that are for the better of ourselves, or are we doing it to people please and suit everybody else? So there's lots of big juicy things that come up when you ask yourself why to many things.
Wow. Yeah. We're quite complicated, us humans, aren't we?
Oh, we are. And I love it.
So let's talk a little bit about personal values and knowing your values, because you've got some great tips for us today that we're going to talk about. And I know one of them is around personal values. Talk to us about that.
So, to describe what a value is really important too, because some people will have done work with values. Have you done work with values, Riss?
I have. You know, to be honest, it's really interesting. I wrote it down because I actually haven't for a long time until just last week. Yeah. It was a really great exercise. And so I've just sort of been pondering about, so it's very timely that we chat, Sam, because I've been pondering how am I going to take this to you know, the salon owners that I work with, either in my coaching program or in the Salon Owners Collective, because I think it is so valuable. Really interesting. I did it years and years ago, and just this last week, so really interesting.
Beautiful. So what's exciting about that is once you get really clear on your values, what you offer out to those that are your clients, your beautiful tribe, will be even richer and more meaningful, because that's what values are. So values come from the core of you. And when I talk about values, a lot, some people that have done work on it will understand, and others won't. And they may have never even known what a value is or been asked that question. So the best place to start is to ask yourself questions, really deep diving questions, like, what is really important to me? Another great one is, when I'm watching the news or when I'm reading something, where I'm hearing conversation, what really fires me up inside? Our human brain is wired negatively, not positively. So we'll get into this later on, but you have to create happiness. You actually have to create a life that you want to live, and it's not easy and it's hard work. And so one of the best ways that you can do that is through your values. So sometimes we have to trick our brain and ask the negative question, not the positive one, to get to our values. And that is things like, literally, what fires me up when I hear, you know, maybe it's, I read something about the increase of child abuse in New Zealand, and all of a sudden my heart is just wrenched and I'm fired up and I'm frowning and I'm having this passionate conversation around it. And then you realize that perhaps underneath that is a value of injustice, or a value deep in you about family and that need to nurture our children, you know, all of that stuff. So values are at your absolute core. It has little to do with the thinking brain, and it has a lot to do with the instinctual right side of the brain, that feeling stuff that you want to run your life by. So to give you an example, my top three are love, nurture, and expansion. And so I come back to my values all the time now before I make a decision and ask myself, is this decision going to move me toward my values or away from them? And so that's when I come back to that half Ironman example. At the time when life was crazy, this is what it looked like. I was filming two TV shows. I was writing for four different magazines. I had one-on-one clients. I was running workshops throughout the country. I was playing premier level netball. My husband was traveling a lot for work, but I didn't have a nanny. And so here I was trying to fit everything in, including the half Ironman training. So when I describe that, right, you have a little giggle and you're
like, "Oh my God,
holy shit, sister. No wonder you had a breakdown." And so now if I look at all of that and look at my values, which are on my wall, they're on the background of my phone, they're there to remind me all the time, they sit there. If I look at that list and go, was there any nurture, love, or even expansion in that list? And then the next question is to say, did all of that feel light or heavy? And most of it was very heavy. So therefore, it's all of it was away from my values.
Yeah.
So another beautiful question to ask yourself around values, before I dive into the importance of them, is, and this is something you can, a little exercise everyone can do, is, if I was to give you a billboard right now and I asked you, well, first of all, the billboard is going to be displayed for your entire country to see. So it's one billboard and you have one message and everybody's going to read it. What does your billboard say?
Yes, good question.
Is. And so I actually ask this to teenagers and I ask it to adults, so whoever I come across when I'm doing values work. And sometimes it can be really simple. And one teenager, her impression has been left on me and it will always be forever, because her message to everybody was really simple, and that was, you are enough.
Gosh, that's big for a young person.
Yeah. Really big. And it still gives me goosebumps. Okay, if you could see me now, I'm covered in goosebumps whenever I say it. And then when we dived underneath that and what that meant to her and what her values were to that were so powerful. And she, you know, one of them was empowerment. She just wanted to feel empowered and empower others. And so she's gone on to work in youth work and really, you know, dive in that way. So she's feeling really aligned to that one message. That one message, you are enough, was enough to build everything around her future business and her future ability to be a leader. So, so values are super important. And the reason for that is they allow us to direct, to be the director or designer of our life. As simple as that. And it's not easy because your values and mine are different. And within a family, all of our values can be slightly different. But we've got to remember that we only have one life to live. And we want it to be our very best. And that we don't actually have a huge amount of time. And we don't have time to muck around. So when we're living in value, we also then find the joy, the fulfillment, and the happiness that us humans are all craving, we find it inside our values.
The trick is then to find what they are, right?
Yeah, and so that's the work to be done, really. So yes. Some of us go instantly, oh, I know what they are, and we can write them all down. Other times it can take time and it can develop. So you really want to dive into things like, what was I like as a child and what made me really feel happy and what kinds of games did I play? And when I'm feeling most like myself, where am I and what's my environment like? Because once you get clear on your values, it affects everything from the way you want to dress, the way you want to have your hair, the makeup you want to wear, the food you want to eat, the way you want to move your body, the actual business that you want to offer out to people, the way that you can inspire your team. So you can then generate values within your team of how you're all going to operate to your clients and to each other.
Yeah.
So it's extremely powerful, the personal
values. I just love this conversation. It's just it's just so important, and I love that the idea of digging back into your childhood and realizing, you know, what it is that was important or how you were taught, and actually there are some things that you have that you just don't know any different. So sometimes identifying what those values are is hard because you just don't know any other way because it's how you were born. Yes. And of course that brings up challenges, of course, in marriages and close working environments when people have different values. How do you find the middle ground and make sure that everybody's getting their needs met? So, such an interesting conversation.
And I actually had a meeting with the head of training and development for Lululemon Australasia yesterday, and we were having this very conversation. And what we were discussing was, because Lululemon are very good at understanding their values, and what they're very good at is being clear on those values so that when they employ people, the people coming in are aligned to their values. So then what you were saying about the challenges, they lessen because it's you make people aware of them from the very moment they step foot in your salon to become one of your stylists.
Yes, I agree. And in fact, that's something that we had when you said, you know, when I said we've done values for the business, is something that worked so extremely well for us to bring us together and united as a team and the way that we operated and looked after our clients. There was no question about what we would, could, should, might do. We knew what to do because we had those to fall back on. The challenge is making sure that those values for your business align with you as a person. And it's part of the work that I do in my Freedom and Profit program is, you know, one of those things, and it is aligned with my value actually, is that actually you've got the choice. Because I think too easily we forget that we've got the choice to design it how we want it, whether that be our life or our business. It needs to come from our personal values. Otherwise, it doesn't align with us and we're always at war with our own business or with ourselves, as the case may be, and we end up having meltdowns, as did you and as did I. And then we have to do drastic stuff to change our lives.
Exactly. And so my mission is to catch people before that happens.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the breakdown that I had, and I'm sure you feel the same, was one of my greatest life lessons. And now because of it, you know, I believe the universe gave it to me as a lesson that I then can use. It's a gift, right?
Yeah.
The breakdown is the breakthrough. However, I want others to avoid that, because I don't also think it's necessary. And so if I can ignite the light in someone now before that gets messy, then, you know, that makes me extremely happy.
Yeah, that's great. Great purpose.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about one's energy. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this is my absolute passion conversation. So you may hear me sort of like jumping up and down in my seat and getting a little excited. oh goodness, just as I'm talking to you, can you hear those sirens?
Yes.
we've just got drama with my passion, you know, as I go to
talk. Absolutely.
Call in the sirens.
Well timed.
Okay, so I think that we all need to take responsibility for our energy. One thing that we forget, we know about it when we're little, and children are a great reminder of this. We forget that our thoughts and our emotions, which we have very little control of, and we desperately try to spend most of our time trying to control, we have very little control of our thoughts and our emotions. However, both of those things generate energy. And I want to give you an example of what I mean by energy so that it's not just the woo-woo side. This is actually science. Think of a time where you walk into a room of strangers and you look around the room. No one has said anything. They're just standing there and they might be in their little huddles of conversation. But as you walk in, you can feel whether someone is approachable and warm and someone that you might like to go and stand near and introduce yourself to. Equally, you can feel the energy of someone who just feels prickly and yucky and you don't want to be near them. Yeah. Have you felt that before?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So that there is an example of energy that is generated by the person's inner dialogue, the state of a person's inner being. And I read this recently. I've been doing a lot of research on it because I want to share with teenagers about being responsible for their energy, but equally to my corporate clients or in turn your audience, because they are around people all the time.
Mm.
And one thing that we forget to do is take responsibility for looking after our own energy, which is what I like to call giving ourselves energy baths. and actually plugging in things in life that rejuvenate our energy. Now, this is beyond self-love. This is moving into self-compassion. So the buzzword around self-love, which I adore and I think it's great, is things like treat yourself, make sure you're going for lots of walks and eating healthy and give yourself a nice bath and all of those juicy, delicious self-love things. But more than that, there is the self-compassion that needs to happen, which is when things aren't going right in your mind, as in, I plan to do this and it's gone a different direction, or, oh God, I've just eaten a whole bag of chips and a whole block of chocolate and it's Friday night and I just downed a whole bottle of wine with all my friends and I'm supposed to be on a really strict diet and oh my God, I'm useless. Rather than that, having compassion and just going, oh well, it is what it is. I was connecting with a friend and I was laughing lots and today was a day that I needed that rather than to be strictly on this so-called quote-unquote diet, which we shouldn't be on anyway. So with energy, what the missing piece is, we operate a lot in the left side of our brain. The left side of our brain is where the logic and reasoning and rational stuff happens. It's also where our thoughts and emotions come from. It's the, what's called also the ego side of us. And we get very fused, or another word to use is hooked two, what our thoughts and emotions are. We think we are our thoughts and we think we are our emotions. So as an example, if you're someone who's feeling really stressed right now, and one of your go-to behaviors when you're stressed is to be irritable or angry. It's a really common one. And in a work environment, when we're feeling stressed and overloaded, we can get quite snappy to each other. Or if you're the owner, you can feel stressed because you're trying to manage all the staff. And then you find yourself just being irritable and snappy. So this behavior, which wouldn't normally be there, but is there because you are feeling stressed, you start to label yourself as, I'm irritable, I am angry. So then you get very fused to the left side of the brain, thinking and emotion, right? But actually, you're none of those things. You are still the kind, loving, beautiful human, but you're forgetting the right side of you, which is where the energy and the intuition side is operating from. And so if we can get really aware to what is going on with our thoughts and emotions and actually get really clear on how do I really genuinely want to behave every day, we can then have a different energy that we're bringing to every single situation we're going into.
Yeah.
Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so when, for example, I probably use the irritable, angry example because that's me when I'm stressed.
Yeah.
So I've done the work and I've done the work to become so conscious of different ways of feeling and thinking that I now can say, and this is where I really want to get people to, I want to say to myself, oh, how interesting, I notice that I'm feeling irritable. Or I notice that I'm feeling angry right now. But then I can pull on, but how do I want to behave? So when my staff are all looking at me, and before I go and blow my face off at them and go, why hasn't this been cleaned up? And how come you haven't sorted this? And, oh, I asked you to do that yesterday, which is so quick, can come, right? It can quickly rise out of us. I can ground myself, and this is practice. So I'm not saying it's an overnight thing, right? And I'm not a guru, and I'm still working on it. We all are human, and we all stuff up sometimes. And more often than not, I can now grab it and go, I'm noticing that I'm feeling really irritable. Huh. I wonder if it's because I'm feeling overwhelmed and overloaded. Interesting. Yeah. I haven't asked for help at all this week. How can I ask for that?
Yeah.
So there's a process in it. Now, the energy part of it is this. What do I need to plug into my life to give myself an energy bath? So that I am operating from a different energy source during my stressful time. If I'm feeling irritable and angry, then I have totally wrung myself out and I'm at the exhausted end, and that's not good for anyone, including myself. Yeah. So what do I need to plug in here to rejuvenate the energy? Now that can look like things like yoga, meditation, walks in nature, and all that self-love, self-compassion stuff that we've talked about. But it can equally just look like having a conversation around what are my values? And am I actually working toward or away from my values in this state of stress? Because more often than not, you're working so far away from them that you've forgotten about your values. And that's why you've got yourself in that state in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so powerful to be able to have that moment where you can separate yourself from, or like you said, notice your reaction or your emotion and separate yourself from it and say, well, I'm choosing not to be or behave or react to that side, even though you desperately want to. I've had this experience around my beautiful children being a bit of a yelly mum because, you know, I've got a teenager who just it takes forever to do stuff. Mm. And I'm sure I was that child myself, my poor mother. And so it's been a real process for me to separate myself from, you know, that emotion of how much it drives me insane and just focus on myself, on my own energy and who I choose to turn up and be in front of them. And it's changed that. Do you know what? It's changed the whole household. My husband included, not just my kids. It was me. I remember saying to my husband once, it's just me. And he looked at me like I was mad. But in fact, when I changed that, exactly that story that you just talked to us about, the whole household changed. So it's really interesting.
Yes, be the change you want to see in the world, Gandhi. It's a beautiful quote.
Nice.
Yeah, I love it. But the other thing is, and this is where I am literally getting out of my seat and getting excited now. the thing is about energy is we forget to be responsible for our own energy, and we're so quick to blame everybody else. So yeah. You've just set a beautiful example of that, where it was very easy to blame the kids are under my feet and they're just throwing their toys around. They're really messy and they're being defiant and they're not listening and my husband's not helping. And, oh, God, here I am again doing the dishes and cleaning up and he's sitting on the couch with his phone and how dare he be.
Yeah.
So when it comes to actually being responsible for ourselves, for our own energy and how we show up in the world, that is the power, that is empowering. The disempowerment is when you let all of that, your thoughts and emotions, drive your car or steer the ship. You want to take back your power. And the way to do that is to get very clear on the thoughts and emotions that are coming through all the time and realize you are not that. You aren't that. They are just emotions and they are just thoughts. And usually they're layered from years of experience and beliefs and the environment and culture and blah, blah, blah. You want to get them up front and understanding. Because the other thing is, and this is really important, particularly if you're client-facing, so if you're working around a lot of people, remember what I said just earlier on in the conversation is people can feel your thoughts and your emotions. So if you're not working on those and tidying those up, you're actually going to potentially sabotage any relationship that you're in, from intimate relationships to the client-based relationships, and that with your children, because it's usually your own junk that's going on in your own head and your own craziness that's in there that makes you react that way outwardly to everybody else.
Yeah. And you don't even realize
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, if you look back, you know, at say client reviews, how do they review a salon and they say, I just love the team and I love the energy, is because the people have got their heads on right, or the team have got the culture and their values right. You, like you say, you can feel when you walk into a business if there's stuff going on and there's irritation going on and people haven't got control of their
100%
energy. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what? Tell us a little bit more about aligning that sort of mindful living and values, bringing that all together.
Yeah, so once you get really clear on your values, that is part of living a mindful life. And the reason that we want to live mindfully is because mindful living creates a rich, full, and meaningful life. And that is what every human aspires to. Wants in their life. When I break down any one-on-one coaching that I do or group coaching that I do, when we boil it all down, we all want to live a fulfilled life that we love. And we can do that by living mindfully. So those of you that are listening that already know about mindfulness will probably know it as a living in the moment. The bigger picture of mindfulness is every day waking up with intention, knowing how you're going to behave, knowing that no matter what thoughts or emotions come in and out of your day, because you can have hundreds of thoughts and emotions throughout the day, but that you're able to sit with whatever that is, because there is no good or bad emotions. Pop psychology will have us believe that we should only be thinking happy, positive thoughts. I'm going to call BS on that. It's not even possible. that no emotion or thought is bad, that it just is, because we are human and we're supposed to feel and think a full range. However, mindful living is allowing those to be there and still come back to our values and behave how we want to behave in every situation. So it gives us that choice. Mindful living is very grounding, and that's where it gets that sense of living in the moment. If we're focused on the past, we're likely to be depressed. If we focus too much on the future, we get anxious and overwhelmed. When we're right here in the moment, which is all we ever actually have, each moment is all we ever have, then you find this incredible spaciousness and ability to feel happy. And I'm talking about any situation, you are able to behave how behavior is a choice in any situation.
Yeah.
The other thing that mindfulness, mindful living, and this getting very clear on your values and being responsible for energy, is that it is extremely possible for more than one emotion to coexist within us at any one time. So, as an example, when my girlfriend just recently, and it's really sad, she committed suicide and left behind two beautiful children, and. You know, it's been devastating for absolutely everybody. Her husband and I have known each other since I was a young person, and to see him sad is just horrible, and to be with her children now and see their little broken hearts. So that feeling, and grieving is normal, and grieving is a process, right? But the feeling of being sad can also coexist when I call on a memory of the pure joy her and I experienced on a yoga retreat together. Or when we sat in deep conversation at her house over a coffee, studying yoga stuff one time at her home without all of our children running around in her back garden, screaming and laughing. Mm-hmm. So I can still have sadness there for the loss of my friend, but at the same time, I can feel happy. So that the coexisting of the emotions and thoughts is really important too, because then I can redirect how I want to behave in amongst all of that. Mindful living, there's so much science to back it up. It is really, really powerful. I think now more than ever in the age of the information age and the age of social media, we need to be responsible for learning how to live mindfully so that we can teach our future leaders, who are our children and our young people, and really learn how to switch off, really switch off, not just put your phone on mute, but actually how do you unplug completely? Because it feels great.
Oh, golly, how do you do that?
Exactly. Wow, that's another podcast.
Exactly. We'll have to be back for that one. Look, it's just been really quite insightful, and it's been fantastic conversation. And I really resonates with me that sort of the mindfulness around actually anxiety comes from living too far in the future, and depression comes from living too far back in the past. That's a new thought to me, but it just instantly makes sense. So I really like that. Now look, as we move towards wrapping up, you have a quote or a mantra or something that you live by. I mean, you're a business owner yourself, so tell us a little bit about that. What is your quote?
So I have always in the back of my mind when I'm facing things that are a challenge, I always have the mantra, "This too shall pass." And the reason for that is everything goes in, life is like ebbs and flows. Everything goes in ebbs and flows. And when we're in the face of a challenge, it's really hard to see a way out, or that it has any purpose, or why. And we often ask the question, why me? Why is it always happening to me? Not again, all those sorts of, because the brain's wired negatively. Mm-hmm. However, what I like to do now is sit in things and feel it and experience it, knowing that it will not last forever. my comeback to my friend Frankie and her passing, it still hurts, but it's less painful than it was when I got the phone call. Mm. When I think about even having a stomach bug, right?
Yeah.
I can actually lay there amongst it now. And this sounds, for some people, they go, "Are you mad?" But I can actually be there and amongst it now and go, "This too shall pass. I am letting myself surrender completely to this revolting feeling and this horrible bug, but this too shall pass."
Yeah. I think that's so powerful, that statement.
Yeah.
I have to say, though, as a fellow Kiwi, I just to hear that that statement in Gandalf's voice.
Oh, yes.
I do. You shall pass. Look, tell us, what is a book, a webinar or a podcast that has been really impactful for you that you'd like to share with our fellow business owners?
Well, I'm an avid learner and it's really hard for me to pull just one, but honestly, there's just so many books, podcasts, everything that I listen to on the daily. But there's one book that I continuously find myself recommending to clients, and that is a book by Tara Moore, Moore spelt M-O-H-R, and the title is Playing Big.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's just, I won't say any more than that. It's a great book. Pick it up. Beautiful lessons.
I'll pop it on the on this podcast page on the website, so and awesome. A link to it. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing a wealth of wisdom. I mean, look, honestly, we could have talked, you know, a whole podcast episode on each one of those topics alone. Yeah. So we'll have to make sure we get you back. I know people are going to want to stalk you and find out where you are. Tell us, what is your dub-dub?
So it's just my name, actually. So www.samanthahannah.com, and you will find all of my Glow Life stuff on there and online courses. And come along to Instagram, Samantha J. Hannah, and I'll stalk you back. You stalk me, I'll stalk you.
Fantastic. I really appreciate your time. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Chris.
So there you have it. We're complicated as humans, aren't we? I love the idea that we have the choice of who we want to be rather than just reacting to how we feel. And investing in ourselves through guidance of our personal values and taking responsibility for our own energy, I love that we can take control of that. And if you need a place of personal and business development and you've been thinking about joining the Salon Owners Collective and Hub Resource Centre, then I encourage you to jump over. Now is the time. It's the beginning of 2018. We have been working together in creating a hugely successful plan for this coming year so we can really just dominate and make the changes that we need to make in our lives, personal as well as business. So come and join us at the Salon Owners Collective, www.salonownerscollective.com. I look forward to seeing you in the Hub as well as on the podcast next week. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.